Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Ben Liu, speaking to you on the Toronto Raptors. It's a bit of a heartbreak, I'm not going to lie to you. 116 to 110 against the Boston Celtics. Look, we can get this out of the way. The Celtics are the best performing team in the league at the moment. And, you know, in another context, I might tell you that, you know what, it was good that they competed and the Raptors were unlucky a couple times down the break, you know, at the end there. And, you know, make a play here or there and they're more back into the game. But I think, I don't know, for one reason or another, and maybe this is just like, you know, it's been a sort of an emotional swing with this team of late. And because they're in such a perilous state, it feels like when they're so tenuous and they're going into player meetings and, you know, the things you hear about what's going on, it's just not a positive outlook for the most part. Yeah, this game feels more catastrophic than it is. And again, I apologize if sort of like this is not the take that everyone sort of arrived at. This is not like what everyone's impression of the game is. But for me, I was looking at this game like, you know what? You have the Celtics in a good spot as much as you can get them, right? Because they're a really good team, as we know, and we saw here tonight. But, you know, this is a good spot for them, right? Like, you're seeing them on the second half of a back-to-back. They're resting out Horford. You know, they don't have Brogdon. You know, they're starting Blake Griffin. You know, like, this is a game that you probably should do something against them and be competitive. And look, to be honest, the Raptors were competitive, right? They actually held control of this game. Well, never control, but they were at least ahead in the first half. I thought they actually did quite well. You know, defensively, they did a good job on Tatum, limiting his opportunities. But then again, Tatum started to get free, and then it was a very different story in the second half. You know, Brown made a couple of tough shots, but honestly, if you're telling me in 29 minutes that Jaylen Brown scored 22 points on 9 of 22 shooting, I'll live with that, right? But it's some of the other plays that just weren't made. And when you look down the roster, I mean, the very painful reality is, look, Boston's 1-2-3 is Tatum, is Brown, it's Smart, right? And the Raptors, I think Pascal actually did pretty well in this game. This is, you know, just a really good game for Pascal. I mean, 29 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists against one of the toughest defenses in the NBA. Obviously, this year, defensively, you know, the Celtics aren't as good as they were last year, but you know that team is chock full of great defenders. And Pascal gives you that near triple-double. And to be honest, as good as Tatum was, and Tatum looked really good at times in this game, Pascal finishes with 2 fewer points against him. So Pascal did his job, and he actually, you know, it wasn't like in spurts the way Tatum did it, but he was consistently active throughout the night and providing the Raptors with offense. And then I thought this was a good game from Scotty. Scotty was really active, you know, like, you know, you can always nitpick anything about a guy who plays 41 minutes, but I think overall this is a very positive game from Scotty. 21 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, making a push. I thought when the Raptors really got punked in the third quarter when they lost 35-18, another classic slow start for the Raptors start the third quarter, and the Raptors lost the lead and the Celtics took the lead and Smart was hitting tough shots and preening and all that other stuff. Like, it was Scotty who really started the comeback push in the fourth quarter. Not even a comeback push, just like continuously like ate into the lead. And, you know, I thought he did his thing tonight. And defensively, you know, I didn't expect him to shut down Tatum, but I thought first half he did a good job. Second half, less so. But still, I mean, it's a great player. Like, I'm actually not expecting him to do any better than that. Because you have experienced defenders in this league that aren't doing any better than that. But who was that third guy for the Raptors tonight, right? Like, I would say Gary kind of came on, and it was great to see Gary sort of catch fire and give the Celtics some issues. He was the one doing a lot of the scoring in the fourth quarter. But I think you needed your third guy to be Fred. And when you look at this game from Fred, you can always say Fred competes. Fred competes, defensively made a couple of plays, but let's be very honest about this. Fred was not anywhere near good enough to give the Raptors the win here tonight. He got beat in the matchup by Marcus Smart, right? And look, Marcus is a very good player. We've seen him over the years. You know, he's been a thorn in the Raptors' side. You know, one defensive player of the year. You know, very crafty player. Some of the screening, some of the movement. I mean, he's very smart. He's a very, very smart player. And he was able to score tonight, which, you know, always feels devastating when Smart hits threes, right? Like, you know, we saw that in the bubble series. But for Fred to be outplayed to this degree, 3 of 14 from the field for 8 points, 1 of 6 from three. Some of these are open for him too. I mean, like, Fred shot a lot of the ball early in the game, which I understood because the Celtics were playing a lot of drop coverage against him, whether that was Blake Griffin, whether that was Sam Hauser. And so when he's when Fred is coming off that screen and the defender's backing off like that, it's his shot to take that mid-range shot or to take a pull-up jumper or whatever, right? Again, like, it's those are not plays that I blame him for, because those are plays that he should be taking. But let's be real about that. He should be making these. 3 of 14 is 3 of 14, right? Like, and there are a lot of chances where he's just not making those. And to the point where I thought Fred was losing his confidence in the second half. We've seen Fred have bad games. We've seen Fred have plenty of bad games this season. But for him to start losing his confidence, there were times where he wasn't even looking for a shot in the second half. And to be honest, that was for the betterment of the team. Because even when he got some open looks, he was missing those, right? He had a wide open look in the corner. Pascal drives, draws two, kicks it to the corner. Fred's wide open for three. He misses it. For, you know, first half, the Raptors trying to get Fred going. You know, they run their classic baseline out of bounds play where Fred is the inbounder, throws it up to around the elbow. And then he comes inbound, comes across two screens, and the pass goes right back to him from the guy he passed it to at the post. And it worked to perfection. The Celtics were asleep on that play. Fred was wide open from the corner for three. It's that is Fred's equivalent of a layup. Okay, I'm expecting him to make that three. I'm not even kidding in that scenario when he's wide open in the corner like that in the first quarter when there's no energy issues. 50%. I'm expecting 50% on that shot, maybe even more. And he missed it badly. And, you know, this is the kind of game where he just couldn't get it done. I mean, he knocked down a three towards the end there when it was starting to feel nice, you know, to cut down a single digits. Raptors were making that push, making that chase. And then he came down on the floor and he took another three, which honestly, I didn't think was the worst shot just because we've seen him make that in the past. But at the same time, in the context of this game, like, you needed him to make that shot eventually at the end. It's like one of those games where he shoots poorly and he catches fire at the end. And, you know, we've seen it. Like, we know that what that kind of looks like. Couldn't get it done tonight. Right, and just really could not get it done. Now, I thought he competed defensively. The amount of times that I saw Fred, you know, making a play that you weren't expecting from him. Like, for example, Jaylen Brown driving down the lane, you know, and he looks like he has an open layup, but Fred comes over, digs down, swipes down, slaps the ball away. That's one of his two blocks on the night, right? Huge, huge play in the fourth quarter there. You know, you see him competing, and I mean, I'm not even trying to be facetious, just waving his arm back and forth, really trying to pressure the ball and trying to do whatever he could, but it just wasn't enough, right? This is just wasn't enough. At times, he just looks like, until he finds a shot, he just kind of looks broken, right? And I don't mean that in a pejorative way. Like, I have the utmost respect for Fred and what he's done for this franchise, and I believe that there's a much better level to get back to, but let's be honest, of late, it's been so bad. And when you look across the board at this game, yes, the Celtics went on that great third quarter run, and obviously the Raptors could have done more to stop them on that front, or at least sort of keep it close, because the Raptors were hot in the second quarter too, but the Celtics made enough muscle plays, hustle plays, whether that's, you know, Blake Griffin winning some loose balls, or Marcus Smart sort of, you know, bringing the intensity up and winning a couple extra possessions, and just making a couple plays here where the Raptors were winning the quarter, sure, but they weren't pulling away. I thought the Raptors should have been up comfortably a half, probably 10 points, something like that. Instead, they only up six. And then the Celtics are usually within range. They erase and take the lead very quickly into that third quarter. And the Raptors have to call the first timeout. And a lot of that stretch, you know, guys were just missing shots. And, you know, but it's something across the board where you look at the Celtics and how confident they play. They were down, but when they make a shot, like, Marcus would look into the crowd and, you know, whatever, taunt whoever's there, or, Jaylen Brown will make a tough shot and he'd celebrate. And, you know, Tatum would obviously get going and he'd make tough plays. But, you know, even Blake Griffin driving for a dunk and the whole bench is going nuts. They're losing. They're losing in some of these plays, but they have that kind of confidence. They kind of have swagger. Whereas you look at the Raptors, I mean, they fought, they played hard, but once that adversity hit them, you know, the Raptors didn't really have a good answer to sort of stem that tide. And then down the stretch in the fourth quarter, I thought it was one of those rare opportunities where the crowd actually started getting into it. Out of nowhere, because sometimes, you know, you have chants created by, like, the broadcast or, like, the in-game arena ops. They start playing some of the default chants, and then people join in and they maintain that momentum. It was like a chant out of nowhere, a completely organic chant of, let's go Raptors. They were down 10. They were trying to get something going. They looked kind of lifeless, and the fans actually breathed some life into them, right? And the Raptors missed that first shot, and then Thad missed the putback, but then Boucher comes over and tips it in, and the crowd starts to cheer and get into it. But, you know, like, you didn't see that kind of energy, that kind of focus, that kind of confidence from the Raptors. And you know what? I don't think that's insignificant in a way, you know? Like, I think that's a sign of a team that's been struggling of late, that's been searching for their identity, that came into the season with, you know, deserved expectations of, hey, we just won 48 games, we're a young team, we were not that healthy last year, let's get healthy, you know, let's, you know, build on our continuity. We have a lot of young players who are ready to take a step forward. Hopefully that happens. And when we put that all together, we can kind of, you know, make that next step, right? Not maybe not, like, catch the Celtics because we knew how good the Celtics were, but at the same time, can we push them? Can we be competitive? And I'm not saying, like, you know, can we be competitive in these games? I fully expected the Raptors to win this game. Vegas expected the Raptors to win this game. Not by a lot, but when you look at the scenario, you're like, well, the Celtics are, you know, playing a busy schedule right now. They're away from home. They don't have three of their top six players in their rotation, right? Because Brogdon's their sixth man. And, you know, obviously Robert Williams has been out. I mean, he's one of their five best players. There's no doubt about that. And now Horford's out too. Like, you know, sure, they have some replacements, but it's not like you look across the board at who they were bringing off the bench, whether that was Grant Williams or Sam Hauser or Luke Kornet, as guys who will burn you. But, you know, where was that kind of production match from the Raptors' perspective? And it's just too bad, too, because I thought the Raptors actually came out and gave their best effort. Like, this is pretty close to what the Raptors can do in terms of their best effort, right? Like, their first half, I thought they executed well. You know, I thought OG was single-handedly holding down the defense. The Celtics were still able to score, you know, 56 points by halftime. But I thought OG came up and made a lot of big stops, kept a good tight lid on Jaylen Brown, you know, even switched on to Tatum a couple possessions. You know, Scotty, I thought, did decently in that Tatum defensive matchup in the first half. Second half, less so. But first half, I thought, you know, he did a good job of, you know, running Tatum off the three-point line, then, you know, running him inside the arc off pick and rolls, guiding him towards help against Christian, and then, you know, ripping down the rebound and pushing the fast break. Like, guys were playing their roles well. And you know what? I would say OG missed a lot of open corner threes, and he ended up losing the ball a few times. When you look at this game, 13 points on 6 of 14 shooting, including 1 of 5 from 3, and the 5 turnovers, including a lot of those slip balls at the end there. Like, okay, that's disappointing, but you know that, and you know he provided for you a lot defensively. You know, Christian, to be honest, it wasn't the worst thing from Christian. I thought second half, like, you know, starting him again, it would have been a harder half, but I thought he started the game decently. You know, did what you really necessarily wanted from him, which was just to contest shots and go up for boards and use some physicality, which I thought he started the game with. Maybe third quarter didn't do it, but again, he wasn't the only guy who underperformed in the third quarter. But you know, Pascal was there for you. Scotty was there for you. OG was there for you defensively. And you got to look at the board and you say, well, like, where was it from Fred tonight, right? If Fred had an average game, if Fred had a regular game from him with some of the looks that he got, and I'm not even talking about the percentages, I'm talking about the looks, because we're talking about drop coverage for a guard who's pretty good at pulling up, right? That's a coverage that I've seen this season, you know, or more importantly, I saw for a large part of last season, teams dropping back on Fred, and Fred confidently knocking those down and breaking that kind of coverage and forcing the other team to adjust. But now he's in such a sad state that, like, the Celtics are saying, well, we can just drop against you, right? We can contain the drive. We know when you drive in here, you're just going to try to kick it out. But we can contain the drive. We'll plug the paint. We'll let you shoot these pull-up jumpers. That was never in the scouting report before against Fred. And they tried that against Fred, and it worked because he couldn't knock those down. And then it's, you know, and yeah, I mean, it's not even about pointing fingers necessarily. I really don't think that there's any sort of, like, specific need to direct anger. I think they need to figure this thing out. And on the whole, it is a positive outcome that they were able to compete against the Celtics. But how low are the standards that we're talking about now? We're just happy to compete with the team. Like, for me, again, this is where I probably disagree with a lot of people. I had real expectations coming into the season. Not that they would compete for a championship. Not that they would do, you know, that much. But, like, he's just got to be, like, you know, the team just has to be in a higher place than this, right? And to me, it was like, it was disappointing to see them, you know, get punked like that in the third quarter. Like, that's really what great teams do. Like, I've seen the Raptors used it in the past, like, pull away in that third quarter. You know, they come out, okay, whatever, first half, let's see who's going, who's not. And then third quarter, it's like, okay, we saw what's going to happen in this game. Let's push it to the next level. Let's see what we can do with it. And they just couldn't do that. Right? They couldn't do that, and it was the opposite. The Celtics were able to sort of turn it on, and I guess that's the levels difference between those two, and if you tell me that, I wouldn't say I'm surprised. I obviously acknowledge the Celtics are a way better team than the Raptors, especially at the current moment, but it's also a little bit, you know, sobering to think about, I guess, in a way, right? Because your best effort led to a close loss against a Celtics team that's not fully healthy, not even close to fully healthy, and on the second half of back-to-back in your building, right? So what does that really say about you? Maybe it doesn't say that much. Maybe you say, well, you know, if the Raptors didn't screw up a 3-on-1 fast break down the stretch there, maybe if OG caught that pass, maybe if Fred hit that three, which, you know what, he even had some momentum to shoot it. I get it. Maybe if Gary didn't smoke that layup after doing a good job of breaking past smart at the point of attack, you know, maybe if Pascal didn't split some free throws. Like, there's a couple plays that you look at, and those were both backbreakers, right? But, you know, at the same time, I just think that it's hard to look at the positive side of that. Maybe that's just on me, and I totally understand. Maybe that's just on me, right? But this is this was really tough for me, myself at least, to accept, and maybe for others it's not so much. But in terms of the game itself, yeah, I mean, look, I thought Pascal, the Raptors really gave him the ball so much, and not even like sometimes it's like. There's a difference between giving him the ball because you're looking to only play through him, and then there's sometimes where it's just like no one else has it, is willing to attack or has any advantage going, and so you have to give it to him time and time and time again. We're almost force feeding him and hoping he bails you out. I thought in the first half he did a good job of sort of being within the offense, got to the free throw line a lot. The Celtics were being real physical with him. I thought Pascal actually handled the Celtics' physicality really well. I've seen Pascal have great games where, you know, he scored tons against the Celtics, but he doesn't get to the free throw line that much because of the fact that he's spinning away from the contact, or, you know, just maybe he's just not like inviting it and accentuated in the way that you kind of need to, you know, at times, right? Because you even saw in this game, like, there were stretches where, you know, Jaylen Brown or whatever, he would fall over because, you know, of a push off, but other than the Raptors push him and there's no sort of call, right? So, you know, we've seen games where Pascal doesn't necessarily get to the free throw line. I thought he did a great job of that. 13 free throws today. You know, it wasn't as pretty or even free-flowing as the way Tatum was scoring. But at the same time, like, you know, you can't always ask for the aesthetics, right? I think the end result was good. He was able to attack the mismatches, whether that he was switching on to Blake, attacking on Blake Griffin, attacking even Smart. I thought he got him a couple times. He got White a couple times. Tatum, you know, he did his thing. Pascal really did his thing. And even the driving kicks and stuff like that, you know, I think, you know, the Celtics actually did a pretty good job of not sending too much help over there. But at the same time, it's like, you know, what Pascal could do in terms of setting up other guys, he tried to, and he wasn't selfish on that front. And he was looking for guys. And, you know, he played really well. If anything, it's actually quite encouraging that he did this against a top opponent, right? And I thought, you know, for Scotty, like, I was actually really encouraged. Like, yeah, the 1 of 6 from three, it wasn't there, right? We know that his three-point percentage is up a few percentage points from last season. But to me, like, fundamentally, even just watching, like, shoot-up round and warm-ups and stuff like that, like, you know what? He's still an emerging shooter, right? There's still work to do. Like, there's a very difference, like, the very big difference I test watching Scotty shoot pregame versus, like, watching established shooters pregame. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's a young player, and I think the Scotty report is very clear that, you know, he needed to work on the jumper to continue, right? I mean, I think he has the mid-range actually down to a decent percentage, but I really do think that the three is more of a challenge for him, and so he wasn't able to knock down catch and shoot threes. But I love seeing Scotty go into the post, whether that was against White, whether that was against even Grant Williams. Like, Grant Williams is a very, very tough defender, man. That guy's physical, he bumps you, he's a smart guy. You know, I mean, we saw it. I mean, obviously, anyone who watched the playoff series last year, you know, where the Celtics were able to overcome the Bucks, you know, Grant Williams got a ton of shifts against Giannis. And he made life tough for Giannis, right? So you know he's a good defender, and he's willing to stand in there and take the bumps. And Scotty was able to bump him and get into positions and put up, you know, hook shots and floaters, and not like dominate in terms of getting to the rim and dunking the ball or getting to the layups, but, you know, like dominate in the sense that, like, he was able to handle that matchup confidently against a really tough physical defender, and he was able to rise up and get to his shots and put up pretty good looks. Right. And when you look at the whole, like, I thought Scotty played really well. Like, the transition pushes and stuff like that, you know, like, they were all really good. Like, this is a matchup where I thought Scotty really focused in, played his role well. And, you know, I liked what I saw from Scotty. There's really no complaints. I mean, defensively, sure, there's a couple of closeouts that he didn't really get to, or, you know, guys were able to attack his closeout. But listen, if you run a three-point shooter off the corner and made him drive against you and you contested the shot, I mean, if he makes it ultimately, that's just a good offense, right? And the Celtics are known for their good offense. And it's not like the Raptors got killed that hard from three. Like, 13 of 36 from three for the Celtics, 36%. That's slightly below average for them, right? They shoot more threes than that. They make more threes per game than that. They shoot a higher percentage of threes from that. So they did a good job. They didn't put them on the free throw line that much, right? And you know what? they did need some pretty tough shot making at times from Brown, from Smart, who made a bunch of contested ones, which honestly, I've said this before, but every Marcus Smart three feels like, a boot to the chest. Like, he's just like, he's already doing so many other things against you. And when he starts knocking that down and starts like getting some confidence in his team, like, he's that emotional leader for Boston. And, you know, he's able to rally them versus like the Raptors side of it. We just didn't get that same effect. Even when the Raptors scored, it was more a sense of relief rather than a sense of like celebration or like, you know, knocking down their confidence on the opponent. So, you know, it was a tough effort. And again, I think under normal circumstances, you probably commend them for it. But given the recent stretch here and given the history here, I think I really, really wanted to see this win. And they couldn't get it. And to be honest, like, I thought their game plan was even pretty solid. Like, you know, usually what you would expect, right? And I made a joke tweet about this during the first during yesterday's, I guess, availabilities or whatever. But it was like, Tatum's coming in, right? So who's going to guard Tatum? Well, I thought the Raptors are going to trap Tatum, which they did quite a few times. But they're going to trap Tatum, and then the Celtics are going to move the ball and get into the corners. The Raptors actually guarded the corner threes decently tonight, right? You look at a lot of the threes that were made. I mean, Tatum obviously getting free for 10 threes is not great. But, you know, usually the Raptors don't let Tatum shoot 24 times. They don't let Brown shoot 22 times. They really double-team those guys to force other shooters to do it. They almost kind of surprised it in a way where they're able to get this thing done for the Raptors. And so, I just got a text. It was a little distracting, but, I thought the defensive strategy was solid. I really did. I thought Boston did pretty well for themselves to get to 56 points, but that defensive intensity kind of evaporated in the third quarter. And that's where, for the Raptors, it's sort of like, when you watch them, at least this is my sense, and again, this is obviously not like basketball analysis in terms of X's and O's or even in terms of stats or whatever. This is just like my feeling watching the game was like the Raptors would give up a couple plays and then they would get down on themselves. That confidence is kind of gone, right? It was like, oh my God, now we got to hold on to the 6-point lead. They were holding, you know, they're squeezing the ball at times. And you do notice some of that nerves. Whereas with Boston, they were just like, we're going to execute. We know we have some star players. We made some key adjustments here. We're going to put Tatum in the pick and roll. He's going to, you know, that's going to force the Raptors to, you know, consider how they're going to double team a guy who doesn't even have the ball. And then get him free at a couple opportunities, get him going. We know when he's open, he's going to knock it down. And he did that tonight, you know, and so that's going to kind of carry us, but that's just running your offense and having the confidence to know that, like, you know, even if you're down in a tough spot, just continue to execute. Whereas the Raptors, it felt like they lost their heads for a while in the third quarter. And there were plays where Pascal would dribble the ball for 20 seconds and no one else would get open or even try to come to the ball. And Pascal had to put up something, or, you know, just offense was going nowhere, or Fred, you know, trying his very best. But I mean, like, come on, right? There was just not enough from him at all. And, you know, these are solutions that I feel like it just, maybe we look back at the end of the season and things have changed and, you know, we look back and like, wow, that was a weird stretch for the Raptors where, you know, they were so not competitive against Brooklyn and New Orleans. And then, you know, Boston came in and ripped their hearts out a little bit. But ultimately, you know, that was just a random stretch in December and we can kind of forget about it. But I don't know. There's something about this team where it just feels like it's teetering, right? Like, and that's not me trying to be a doom, you know, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. I'm really not. I just, when you hear about team meetings, when you hear about all this stuff, it just feels uncharacteristic. And when your leaders can't bail you out, that's when you start to look for answers. Because as much as I liked what Gary did off the bench, as much as I appreciated that, you know, Chris and Thad were able to come in and give you some offensive rebounds, right? 7 offensive rebounds between the two of them. That's pretty good, right? Boston's front line was actually quite physical. But, like, you know, I think you needed your best players to be at their best. And I thought Pascal played an A game. I thought Scotty, for what he's shown this season, this is an A game for him. This is one of his best games of the season. For OG, I would say this is more of a B. You know, I think defensively he was strong. Although, to be honest, at times in the second half, like, this is the kind of confidence they got. Like, Jaylen Brown was getting shut down by OG for a significant portion. And then he just comes alive and hits a jab step and then knocks down a three. And just like, sometimes it looks so easy when the offensive players are that talented, right? Even against the best defenders, a simple jab step and then a fadeaway for a three, like, that's all it really took for him to get going. And it's like, that's not even an easy shot. But that's when you have that kind of confidence, when you know you can go to your guys over and over again. And, you know, if I had to describe it, and it's weird to say this because the Celtics didn't obviously win the finals, but it was one of those, like, never underestimate the heart of a champion type of moments. Like, they're like, what adversity? Well, yeah, we're down a couple points on the road against the Raptors. Who cares? We're short a couple bodies. Who cares? Blake Griffin's going to step in and do something. Man, Luke Kornet's just going to roll to the rim for dunks over and over and over again. And, you know, Sam Hauser's not hitting for three. Who cares? We'll just bring other guys. And Derek White doesn't score for us. Doesn't really matter. He plays some defense, strips the ball a couple times, you know, makes a couple extra passes, keeps the thing going. And meanwhile, in the Raptors, it just feels like you needed so much to go right for you tonight. And honestly, a lot really did go right for the Raptors. And to be honest, like, you might say, well, it didn't really go right at the end when they missed a couple of plays that were so makeable. But that's just the game, right? But, like, did they pick up their heads and continue? And that's where, for me, it's just like, yeah, I don't know. I think Boston was just, like, a level above, even though the end result was actually quite close. So, I mean, look, I apologize. Like, this is one of those games that you come to and you attend and you consider the factors around the team and sort of, like, what's been going on with them. And then you see this kind of performance. But, I guess it feels worse than it maybe even is. And so if again, this episode was just too pessimistic, then I apologize. Like, I really don't think that my intention is to be that. I think it's just sort of like reading the tea leaves. But would have really loved to have this one. And it was on the table. Like, it wasn't like the Celtics came in and blew the doors off. Like, yeah, in the third quarter they were strong, but the Raptors had a chance. And to be honest, I think a stronger, more cohesive version of the Raptors, if they weren't struggling like this, if Fred wasn't, the way I described it on Twitter was just, he looks broken at times, you know, and it's so gut-wrenching to see for a lot of people who have followed Fred for his whole career and seen what he's able to do at the highest levels. And coming off last year, it feels very much like, pretty much from January onward, after February, let's say the latest from this past season, he burned out, and we just haven't seen him get back to any level of sort of springiness. You know, he looks labored out there, right? And, you know, OG missed making a couple plays. Again, those are kind of part of the game, but that's what I'm coming down to, is just like, you could have taken this, you could have really flipped it, and it's funny how fandom works. I acknowledge that. I'm definitely a fan. It's just like, you know, you win this game here, you make a couple of plays here or there, you might feel phenomenal about this game. You might feel phenomenal if OG caught the corner three from the pass from Scotty instead of fumbling out of bounds and knocked it down. And you might feel great if Gary was able to make a layup. Like, he literally did the hard part of getting Pi smart, and he just missed the layup at the end there. This is after he hit a knockdown three, a pull-up three. Like, you know, you might feel amazing if Pascal hit both free throws and you got all the momentum instead of, like, making the first one, flipping the second one. And, you know, you might feel tremendous if the Raptors were down like 6-7 points and, you know, they got to stop and it's a 3-1 fast break. And, you know, Pascal throws it up to OG for the lob instead of down at his knees and OG fumbles the pass. Like, you might feel really good. And to be honest, those are all plays that the Raptors can make. And I think probably a more rational approach would be that, you know, you sort of look at it from that perspective. You might think back to, like, guys like, you know, what Kawhi used to say about, like, you know, not getting too high, not getting too low. These are 82 practices the regular season. But to be honest, like, even thinking about some of those things, like, it's so far off. It feels like, you know, like, maybe it's not, but at certain times it does make you think, like, damn, like, the Raptors used to be that team that used to do this, you know, never underestimate the heart of a champion type of moments where they will pull ahead. And I remember that season where, you know, even 18-19 for sure, but even 19-20, they would make these hard pushes in the third quarter, and even if they weren't playing well, guys would step up and guys would look confident and guys would, you know, keep fighting and scrapping and pull out a tough win on the road shorthanded. Like, that used to be, that was like every other win for the Raptors that year. You compare it now 2 years later to this, like, or I guess this is 3 years later, but, like, there is a ways away, and hopefully there's a way back. But I do think that, you know, they just were not at their Celtics level tonight, and that's disappointing to think about. Not just because you expect the Raptors to be as good as the Celtics. I'm very clear about that. But if you're a serious team in the league and you want to make a threat to the top four, and I think everyone in the Raptors, if you ask them about their expectations realistically, they'd say top four. This is a game that you should take. Like, yeah, like, I don't know how else to say it. So it's tough. They couldn't get it done. They fought hard, but it just wasn't there for them. And, you know, when you think about, like, the level that this team has, and what's available on the roster, like, you know, this it is getting to that point of the year where the front office got to kind of look at it and say, like, what do we really have here and how do we sort of adjust for, are we close enough that we need to make a push and make a gap and make a trade and close that gap? Or are there certain fundamental things that are not working with the squad? You know, like, if Fred is playing at this level this whole season, there is real genuine concern. I mean, that's stating the obvious, really, but there is real genuine concern if that's the case, right? And, you know, hopefully Scotty's able to play at this level, but, you know, if Scotty's not just, like, doing what he did last year, but taking a small step forward, at least a small step, or at least playing with the confidence he played with today, you know, that is something that does change your expectations, right? But ultimately, they couldn't get it done, and maybe this is just too many words on just the feeling of the team. I guess on the process-wise, they did all right. And yeah, I don't know. I'm disappointed, but maybe not everyone is. So in terms of your three stars from tonight's game, Pascal's going to get the first star for me, 29 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. You know, I thought, yeah, he did a decent job. I mean, not just a decent job. He did a great job offensively. Like, I think it's funny because, again, if the Raptors win, we'd be singing his praise and be like, wow, look at him putting up 30 points and almost a triple-double against a great team like that. But we could still do that. He still was super effective. He was still able to go after guys and score. And, yeah, the Celtics have been his bogey team of late, but the last two times the Raptors have played the Celtics, Pascal had 29 here. He had 40 the last time. I mean, obviously, they were banged up, the Celtics, that time, so I'm not going to say it was just like a, you know, whatever, right? But he's done well. And against a matchup that he used to do poorly against, that's progress. And to see his growth in his game this year, it's been fun to watch. And he was not the Raptors' problem at all tonight. If anything, Pascal just needed more help. And that might be something the front office needs to consider. How do we get Pascal more help, right? And is help on the roster right now in terms of getting guys to play at their level like Scotty and Fred? Or are they, you know, is help in the form of getting someone else? Or is help in the sense of balancing out the roster to get a starting five? Because, like, even on a game where, like, think about it, Boston were without Robert Williams, and they were without Al Horford, and the Raptors' front line still got bullied by Blake Griffin and Luke Kornet, who shot a combined 10 for 13 from the field. You know, they grabbed 15 rebounds between them. They had 24 points. Like, sometimes it's as simple as that, right? You look at the center position, that's probably where the Raptors lost. But when you talk Thad Young and Christian Coloco playing most of your minutes at, you know, between the at the five before the Raptors went small to close the game, they gave you 11 points and, you know, 9 rebounds. Like, that, they got severely outplayed. But that's the thing. That's Boston's number three and number four options in the front court, right, at center. And the Raptors, those are your one and two options at center. I guess, like, Precious maybe, right? You might say, well, Precious in this game. Honestly, he probably would have done better. But ultimately, like, you know, you did a guy outplayed there. So can you get some help at the center position? Can you get a third guard where if Fred's playing this poorly, right, we put another guard in? Like, Fred playing this poorly and the Raptors still playing him 38 minutes, like, you might say, well, that's Nick being too devoted to him. I think there's definitely an undeniable bond between those two. And I think, you know, to be honest, I understand Nick, right? He's seen enough to say, I'm riding or dying with Fred, right? And I understand giving him that respect. But at the same time, like, it also speaks to the lack of quality he has on the roster, because he doesn't trust a Malachi to step into this game, doesn't trust a Jeff Dalton Jr. to come into this game, a Delano Banta to come into this game. And it's like, yo, those are three point guards on the bench, and you're still not playing them, even though Fred is playing this poorly. I actually don't blame Nick for that, because, to be honest, there's nothing I've ever seen from Malachi, from Jeff, from Delano that would suggest to me that they should step into this kind of high-quality game against a high-quality opponent. But, you know, can you get a third guard where you do feel confident throwing them in, where it's like, yo, Fred doesn't have it tonight, let's go to someone else, right? And eventually he kind of did that with Gary, but it was Gary and Fred at the same time. Like, but who are the five guys you could have put together tonight that was going to perform for you, that was going to go shot for shot with the Celtics? There wasn't five, based on the way that Fred was playing. So anyway, that was Pascal's your first star. I guess, what am I saying? Pascal's your first star. Scotty's second star, 21.7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, a block. I like what Scotty did tonight. Energetic, you know, pushed the break, you know, took his chances. Very similar to the Orlando Magic game. So I commend Scotty for doing that. And I think that, you know, it's been encouraging seeing sort of his response of late. You know, obviously a lot of pressure has been on him. To be honest, people expect the most out of him, out of anybody on the roster. But yeah, he played well, and I didn't think even against a tough matchup in Boston, I thought he did well both ends of the floor. Like even defensively, again, you can't hold Tatum quiet the whole game, right? Just like even OG couldn't hold Brown quiet for the whole game. But I thought actually, you know, Scottie competed well defensively. Like there was no complaints for me whatsoever with his performance. And then your third star, it was OG's star to lose. He was playing so well defensively, but I think I probably have to give it to Gary in the end. Just because I think OG slipped a couple key moments there. You really want him to knock down some threes. Like, I don't know if it's the increased defense is sort of knocking down his three-point shooting, but, like, to see OG struggle so much from three this season, it doesn't make any sense to me. He's a really good three-point shooter. And these are all catch-and-shoot looks. Like, it's one thing if you go 1-for-5 because you're pulling out for threes all the time. Like, I know that's not his game. Like, not all threes are equal, but these are catch-and-shoot threes, and he's not knocking those down. And, you know, you're missing opportunities from him. You're missing opportunities from Fred. And, you know, I thought Gary was able to come in and make those shots for you. There were a lot of tough contested shots that Gary took tonight, but he made those. And you kind of do need that on the roster. Like, but at the same time, you know, if you're going to make some trades and flip some moves, like, you might have to give up some of your good players to make that happen. So, you know, ultimately, is that going to solve the problem? I think the Raptors just need to add more talent to the roster. They needed a center for in a bad way. Like, the fact that you let Blake Griffin and Luke Kornet come in and dunk the ball. Like, Blake Griffin dunking the ball and making the Celtics, you know, bench go nuts. Like, what year is this? Blake Griffin wearing 91, bro. This guy's, he's wearing a Boston Bruins number and he's coming in and dunking the ball, right? Like, you can't let that happen. You really can't. And that's where, you know, where is your front court presence? Right? Thad Young coming out to trap the ball. Someone has got to rotate at the rim. Nobody rotates. Luke Kornet dunking over and over and over again. Like, damn, right? Where is your centers, right? So, you know, the Raptors have needed a center. And they need that third guard so that you don't have to rely on Fred this much. You don't have to rely on Gary that much. But you still need somebody. You can just say, well, don't play Fred. I agree. Like, honestly, Fred didn't play well enough to play 38 minutes tonight, even if he did compete defensively. Whatever, you know, like, it's very obvious. But who was that third guard you're going to play tonight, right? And you didn't have that guy. And again, this is a healthy Raptors backcourt. Fred's available. Gary's available. Malachi, Jeff, Delano. Who in the backcourt was even injured for you? And you still had no options, right? So, yeah, you just needed to do better on that front. Anyway, your Gerald Henderson Award winner is Blake Griffin, let's be honest. Took a charge, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. A lot of smarts, a lot of, you know, physicality. I mean, Blake's given Raptors problems, you know, even going back to when he was a Piston. But, yeah, this was a tough performance, you know, and if the Raptors had more front court ability, in just how the Raptors built the team, you probably wouldn't see this kind of performance from those guys. But listen, even if the Celtics are down their starting front court, right, in Williams and Horford, they can still bring in Blake Griffin, who was the next best big on the court. Still bring in Grant Williams, who I thought did a really good job just filling in here or there. Luke Kornet comes in. Like, the Celtics still had the three best performing bigs on the court tonight, even though the Raptors were fully healthy in the front court. Right, so again, that speaks to roster construction. How many years, ever since Serge and Mark, how many years have the Raptors struggled in the front court? And can we get some? And can that be addressed in some way? Now, I'm not saying they gotta like pull a rabbit out of a hat. Like, I understand that this is not an easy thing for them to do, but you know, there are moves to be made. There are roster spots that are taking up money right now that you can flip some salaries and try to support this. But yeah. It's they couldn't get the job done tonight. It's a shame. So anyway, that does it for the podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. Again, I do apologize, you know, if it was too negative. Again, like, this is just my personal feeling. You know, what can I say? I'm an emotional guy, right? But yeah, it's just I didn't feel good about this one. So anyway, rate, review, subscribe, and the Raptors play the Lakers on Wednesday. So it'll be another tough test. We'll see. Some tough matchups that way as well. Again, speaking of centers, we'll probably have to throw Christian Cole. Like, if you thought Blake Griffin and Luke Kornet were an issue, how about AD coming off 50-point games versus Christian Coloco? We're about to see that. And hopefully the Raptors pull out that game, but honestly, the Lakers are playing a lot better. And even last year when the Raptors were playing better than the Lakers came into this building, and that's one of the games I remember the most from that season was, you know, Westbrook coming in, knocking down that three, and the Raptors got the ball stolen, and losing that game in overtime. You know, it was one of the more frustrating games, I'm pretty sure. That one was also an emotional react pod. So hopefully it's not a recap of that. But, yeah, just the Raptors are going through it right now. They're going through it. They need to find some answers. and that might be within themselves or from different teams, but
yeah,
this was a tough one. So thanks everyone for listening. I'll be back after the next one.